You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. Whoa! The Punt Podcast, Midweek Edition.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape flash? It's unbelievable.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Great, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. They're odds against. Love it, love it, love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes, listen on Audio Boom, or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello, everybody. It is the midweek version of The Punt. We have got the League Cup quarterfinals ahead of us. My name's Lee Phelps. I'm delighted to be joined in the studio by Sam Norris, one of the Euro boys.
Hello,
an old domestic for a change.
I know. I'm bidding for your crown as midweek maestro or whatever
it is. Oh, really?
That you call yourself,
I think it was the ambassador of winners, but don't worry about it. It's fine.
You get a promotion then?
Yes. From
maestro to ambassador?
Yes, I think so, yeah. But
okay.
Then I failed to live up to it on more than one occasion, so it was retracted quite quickly. Four cracking games for us this midweek. Arsenal and West Ham, Leicester versus Manchester City, Chelsea versus Bournemouth and Bristol City versus Man United. Bristol City do seem to stick out like a sore thumb there, but who knows what might happen on Wednesday night. I'm going to try and get through this without mentioning the sponsor's name once. I just can't get over how...
Can you not pronounce it? Or
I can, but I'm not going to say it. Don't try and trick me into doing it. It's the worst League Cup sponsor there's ever been, in my opinion.
They seem to get worse and worse, don't they? But I think it's because once we get settled with one, then when the next one comes around, it seems more ludicrous. But this has been a competition that's been littered with disaster, really. I mean, every single draw has had some kind of problem with it.
Brilliant. It'll always be either the Rumbelows Cup or the Worthington Cup for me, I think.
I vaguely remember Worthington Cup. It'll be Carling Cup for me, because that was when I was properly getting into football.
And Carling. Arsenal versus West Ham is the first game that we're going to look at then. This is on Tuesday evening. Arsenal are 8-15. The draw is 3-1, and West Ham are priced up at 11-2. Arsenal got a tremendous home record. That defeat to Manchester United in the Premier League in early December is the first defeat they've had since right back into the end of last season. Sam, so a very good team, we know Arsenal. It's funny because you kind of get the feeling when you hear radio phone-ins or you watch TV that they're in poor form, but you look at some of the results they've had at home, admittedly against Batty and Huddersfield, strong performances, haven't conceded a goal apart from that defeat to Man United in any of the last four that they've played at the Emirates either, Tottenham included in that. West Ham, poor season for them, but they seem to be just getting it going again, and they've got that goalless draw against Arsenal to kind of feed off, haven't they? Interesting cup tie, this one.
Yeah, they've started to turn a bit of a corner under David Moyes, haven't they? They got that... Well, they didn't get anything from the game against Manchester City, but losing 2-1 in a game where West Ham were coming into it off the back of conceding four against Everton, that was supposed to be a cricket score for Manchester City. Yeah. West Ham feasibly could have got at least a point out of that game. City just wore them down just by sheer ferocity in the end, just by sheer volume of shots that they had, and they eventually got by. But that was a spirited performance. They then beat Chelsea, that was obviously a great win, got the draw against Arsenal, and then beat, albeit a pretty poor Stoke side at the weekend, but they demolished Stoke, and you've still got to go there and beat them, winning that one 3-0. It's interesting you mentioned Arsenal at home. They are a much different proposition at the Emirates. That 0-0 draw with West Ham a few weeks ago, coupled with a 1-1 draw against Southampton, just got over the line at Newcastle. They've not been thrilling us in recent times, certainly in the last month or so, but they are much, much better at home. Obviously, Manchester United, the only side to have beaten them at the Emirates this season. Red Star Belgrade got a point there in Europe, but generally, nobody really gets much change from Arsenal at home. But I don't know, I couldn't bring myself to back them here at 8-15. Now that West Ham have begun to turn a little bit of a corner, and you look at how Arsenal have sort of... Yes, they've won games in this competition, but they've been at home in the previous two rounds against lower league opposition, and they've laboured to victories. They beat Doncaster Rovers by a goal to nil. They needed extra time to get past Norwich. They're now playing a side who are in the Premier League, who are on a bit of an upward curve. I can't imagine David Moyes will... I know they're... in a relegation battle, and that's more important than the league. But I don't think he'll rest too many players here, because I think he'll just be keen to, it's a cliche, but keep the winning run going.
No, I agree. And the one thing we haven't mentioned that he'll definitely be keen to try and keep going is, you know, not having conceded a goal in the last three games. You know, 1-0 win against Chelsea, 0-0 Arsenal, and then beating Stoke 3-0 on the road.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's good form.
Yeah.
You know, and he'll definitely want to keep that going.
And a demoralising defeat to Arsenal when he puts the kids out would be like a step backwards after recent times. Well, I think he'll play a fairly strong side.
What about the Arsenal side, Sam? That's the key here, isn't it? You know, we record this on a Monday afternoon. Obviously, hopefully you're listening to this with the benefit of a bit of team news. But you're looking back at, you know, that team that you mentioned that squeezed past Norwich. You know, Macy, Debussy, Holding, Wilshere, Coquelin, Elneny, Iwobi, Maitland-Niles, Walcott, Giroud and Nelson was the starting 11. I mean, you know, there are a few recognisable names in there, but you know, then you look at the players who came off the bench and it was kind of even weaker. In the end, they won it in extra time, didn't they?
Mm.
But yeah, he's got a bit of a habit of sticking to his guns with these, though. Previous seasons where he's gone into semi-finals, Wenger, and put out a weakened team.
Yeah, he does it more than anybody else, really, doesn't he? He's the man that you associate this with more than anyone. Generally, when we get to this stage of the competition, you start to see more first-team names come in. But as you rightly point out, this has always been a competition for the youngsters and for some of the fringe players for Arsenal. Having said that, Alexis Sanchez started against Doncaster, and they've got that match against Liverpool coming up as well. So I think that he will continue to go with a slightly weakened side. He'll certainly be trying to get some of those fringe players in. I mean, Olivier Giroud started the last two League Cup games.
Policy, isn't he?
Yeah.
Probably says more about where he is at the club than about how strong Wenger's team's going to be.
But I still couldn't be with Arsenal, I don't think. Got past Newcastle at the weekend, failing to beat Southampton and West Ham in the previous two in the Premier League. The fact that they are better at home is true, but I think that's factored into the price. Arsenal rates 15 here. It's the same price, West Ham plus two goals.
Wow.
I'd rather play that at 8-15. I think if I was going to play that, I'd also back West Ham plus one goal at 8-5 as well. So I'd be looking at West Ham on the handicaps here. Just the fact that West Ham plus two and Arsenal outright are the same price, I'd much rather be with West Ham here plus two. Obviously, it would have landed in the previous two League Cup fixtures if you were backing Arsenal's opponents, Doncaster and Norwich. West Ham are better than those two sides. They're a Premier League side, as we know. I'd be playing probably two-thirds of the stake on plus two, but I'd have a little bit on plus a goal as well, West Ham, at 8-5. I think David Moyes will be keen to keep the momentum going. Arsenal are going to rest some players. I think we'll see some youngsters, some fringe players. There may be one or two first-team names in there as well, but I think it will be a West Ham side that's closer to their strongest 11 than it will be Arsenal to their strongest 11. So West Ham on the handicaps is the way in.
A couple of enhanced odds as we record this. Lacazette to score and Arsenal to win in 90 minutes is now 6-5. Both teams to score in the first half is 4-1. And Arnautovic to score and West Ham to win in 90 minutes was 10-1, now 12s. I quite like the under 2.5 goals in this one. That's around the 5-4 mark. Let's have a look at the other Tuesday night game. This is Leicester versus Manchester City. Leicester are 6-1. The draw is 7-2. And City are 4-9. Obviously, City, the runaway leaders in the Premier League. I suppose a little bit like Arsenal, though, Sam. They haven't had it all their own way in this competition. They needed penalties to get past a certain future Premier League team in Wolverhampton Wanderers. Sam is a buoyant Wolves fan.
I was there that night as well.
Beat West Brom away from home 2-1 to get that far, but you know, needed a late-ish goal when they were pegged back by the Baggies. It's another interesting one, isn't it? Because you've got to kind of weigh up, does City just want to win everything? Will he weaken down to such an extent that it gives Leicester a chance, who are no mugs, Leicester? We know one thing, that they tend to have goals in their games. I mean, the result of the weekend was an absolute shocker for them, losing 3-0 at home to Palace. Not many people will have had that result as a win to nil, let alone a 3-0 to Crystal Palace. Which way are you going on this one? Because Leicester look a decent old price. I know it's Man City, but 6-1 is a big old price for a team at home.
Yeah, they're a good side, Leicester. They should be a top 10 side. I like Claude Puel as well. He was very unlucky to to lose the Southampton job. He couldn't have done much more. And I do think he's a good manager. He's getting a really good tune out of plenty of Leicester players, including Demarai Gray, who I've been a big fan of since his Birmingham days. Didn't really seem to fire under Craig Shakespeare. He's really beginning to come through under Claude Puel. The thing I like about this Manchester City side, they find all sorts of ways to win games. They're very capable of dismantling teams, as we've seen in the last 2 weeks, beating Spurs 4-1. They beat Swansea 4-0. But they can grind out results. Mentioned a little bit earlier on in the podcast, when they beat West Ham, that was just through sheer resilience, a number of shots, a number of chances created. They can get past teams in not an ugly fashion, but they don't necessarily destroy teams every single week. They've generally gone quite strong in this competition. That match against Wolves, where they had to get through on penalties in the end, they started Gundogan, Sterling, Bernardo Silva, Aguero and Jesus. De Bruyne and Sane both came off the bench in that match. So they are starting with pretty strong sides here. The keeper's generally resting in the cup. Claudio Bravo comes in, having been there against Wolves. Some of the kids that they play, Manchester City kids, are different to kids from other academies. A lot of them are very, very talented.
Yeah. I think that's the difference, isn't it, between, you know, talking about Arsenal fielding a weakened side and City. City's weakened side would probably finish mid-table in the Prem. Maybe even higher than that.
I mean, Bernardo Silva would get into probably every other team. Yeah. In the Premierships,
yeah,
in the Premier League starting 11.
They'd probably finish higher than mid-table, actually, wouldn't they? They're second string. I wonder where they'd finish. Where would they finish in the Premier League?
That's City what they should do next. String, yeah.
They should do that next season. Just let them in, see what happens, give
City
everyone a
B.
chance.
Be
City B, like
up,
they do in La Liga.
But it's...
And you get the feeling that even if they weaken down, they can bring players off the bench to try and, you know, to win it for them if they need to.
Yeah, as they did in the last round. I mean, Sergio Aguero and De Bruyne are both... took a penalty. Aguero started the game, actually, but De Bruyne came off the bench, scored his penalty. So they've got plenty of options, City. But I do like Leicester, and I give them a little bit of a squeak here. Maybe not as much that they've got a chance to win the game, but I think they'll score. City have played 18 games in the Premier League this season. They've only kept 7 clean sheets, meaning they're actually conceding more often than they don't. Even though one of those clean sheets actually came against Leicester at the King Power, I do think Leicester have got a really good chance of scoring in this one. I mentioned City have got different ways of winning games. A lot of the games they win, they don't win to nil. As mentioned, they've conceded in more games than they haven't this term. Leicester, I think, are a good price to get a goal here. Both teams score is interesting. I do think City will probably get through. I'd probably go with Man City to win the game and both teams to score at 15-8, because I can see Leicester getting on the score sheet here, and that's probably the best way to extract a little bit of value this. It's landed 9 times already this season, just in the Premier League, City to win and both teams
to
score.
Yeah.
It's 15-8. I mean, it's shorter than this market usually is. It's often around the 3-1 mark, but it's a little bit shorter than usual because Man City have done this so often this season. So I think a City win with both teams to score is the way that I'll go. I know Wolves kept them out for 120 minutes, but it's difficult to put that down to anything other than an anomaly. It hasn't happened at all for the rest of the season. That was the only game City have failed to score in. The only side who've got any change out of them in the Premier League is Everton very early on, who got a draw. They lost a dead rubber from City's point of view in the Champions League to Shakhtar. Shakhtar needed to go and win that game, so I can forgive them that. So of the 3 games where they have disappointed this season and not won the game, the only time they didn't score was in this competition, but it's difficult really to attribute any sort of rhyme or reason to the fact that they didn't get a goal against Wolves, and I think normal service will be resumed here. You don't keep Manchester City out, and for a team who are as dominant as they are, they don't keep as many clean sheets as you perhaps expect them to. So City winning both teams to score looks a good bet for me at 15-8.
Don't forget, if you want to pick your own bet, hashtag your odds is how you do it. It'll appear under the your odds banner, whether you're on williamhill.com or on the app. If you want to pick your own, just send your bet to @WilliamHill on Twitter with the hashtag your odds, and all these games are qualifiers for 4 means more, so you need goals. I think we may well get goals in that Leicester versus Manchester City match. To Wednesday night then, Chelsea versus Bournemouth first up. Chelsea are 100-30 on. It's 9-2 the price for the draw and 8-1 for Bournemouth. This strikes me as being a competition that Chelsea could win. They're obviously counting themselves out of the title race now, Sam, and getting through this, obviously the next tie, it looks like it's going to be a tricky one if all the favourites do win. They've been inconsistent, Chelsea, haven't they, this season? But you kind of watch them at the weekend, you watch them against Huddersfield last midweek, and you think that they're starting to motor again. There's some obviously fantastic players in there. I just... I'd need to see the team before I go and back them at a short price, like 100 to 30, even in sticking them in an ACCA.
Yeah.
The most tempting thing you could do is just stick these into an ACCA with Man United on Wednesday night. But I'd have to see the team. Having said that, Bournemouth aren't exactly pulling up any trees, are they? You know, there's barely a win on their record in the last six or seven matches.
You'd like to think that Chelsea will be taking this fairly seriously. As you quite rightly pointed out, this is one of their premium chances for silverware this season. The league looks gone. They've got Barcelona in the next round of the Champions League. So this looks, to me, their ideal chance of getting some silverware. Of course, they've got the FA Cup to come, but they're already in the quarterfinals of this competition. So if I was Conte, I'd be looking to have a real good go at winning this competition this year. And I can't see that this will be high on Eddie Howe's list of priorities for Bournemouth, who've sort of quietly slipped into a little bit of trouble in the league. They're just a point clear of the drop zone. Now, they've got a game in hand, and there are some poor teams down there, so there's no cause for immediate alarm bells. But they've got Manchester City to play next in the league. If you take that game out of it, they've got some really important games coming up in the league. They've got Brighton, Everton and West Ham. Now, I think the focus will be primarily on those games, whereas from a Chelsea perspective, yes, they've got to lock up a spot in the top four, but they're 6 points clear of fifth place Burnley at the moment, so I wouldn't be too alarmed about that. I'd be really focusing on the League Cup if I was Antonio Conte, so I'm hoping it'll be a strongest Chelsea side, but that probably won't mean that Michy Batshuayi won't start. He's been very much the go-to striker in the Cups this year. He got a hat-trick in the competition earlier on when putting three past Nottingham Forest. He's been mixing first-team action with under-23 football this year. I think he'll almost certainly get the 90. It should be a strongest Chelsea side, but I still think Batshuayi will start. He's not been missed by the compilers, though. 4-6 any time.
Ouch.
Which really does look short enough. Even if you combine a Chelsea win with that, it's 4-5.
You can't.
I know.
How do you back someone to score a goal in a football match at that price?
Unless it's someone who's...
But even then, I find it hard. I've got like a little bit of an unwritten rule that I will not back anyone unless they're even money or bigger.
Okay.
And that includes
not even Ronaldo, Messi. Oh, yeah. Okay.
It just doesn't feel right, Sam.
I know what you mean.
Odds on to...
And even if you throw a Chelsea win, that only makes it 4-5. 4-5 for a win cast. Yeah.
Yeah.
So... I like the bet, but I don't like the price. So I'd be looking elsewhere. Chelsea winning under 2.5 goals interests me. It's 11-4. Bournemouth, whilst they have been sliding down the table, they don't often ship a hatful. It seems a bit ridiculous to say after they conceded 4 at the weekend to Liverpool, but Chelsea don't have the weapons that Liverpool have got at the moment. That front four for Liverpool are playing absolutely unbelievably.
Yeah. And being away means they can be a little bit... They don't have to come out as much, do they?
And if you take that Liverpool game out of the equation... It was the first time Bournemouth had conceded more than 2 goals since September. They've only conceded more than 2 on 2 occasions this season. And Chelsea actually work very well for this bet as well, particularly at home. In their last 6 home games in all competition, they've only scored more than twice on 1 occasion when beating Newcastle 3-1. They've won 3 of their last 5 at home by a goal to nil. I think something similar could be in the offing here. And 11-4 for Chelsea winning unders looks the way into me. I do like Batshuayi, but... I can't really take him at 4-6, so no. I'd play Chelsea in unders, given that their blueprint for winning home games lately has been win by a goal to nil, which has landed in 3 of the last 5.
No, I like that. I do like that a lot. I think it's there's some definite value there in a game that looked like it was bereft of it. The final of the 4 League Cup matches is Bristol City versus Manchester United. The holders of the competition go to the team who are 3rd in the Championship at the moment on 43 points. 8 points behind the would-be champions, Wolves. I'm just trying to be nice to you, Sam.
Miles behind.
In good form, though, Bristol City. You know, there was a... I think it's one of Derek McGovern's old kind of football betting Bible things, where you've got a... He once said that he ghostwrote Harry Redknapp's first book, and Harry always used to say that football in general is quite level. You can get a team in the second division or whatever, as it was then, playing a team in the first division or even lower, and they kind of footballers can play football. You get some absolute superstars. It's the consistency that you can't deal with. So on any given night or day in a cup competition, that's why you get these upsets. And this has got the hallmarks of being one of those where it's a night match, Bristol City at home, lots of confidence against the Man United team, who obviously are well capable of winning this game. But if they go there, anything other than fully prepared, then they could be in bother. 4-11 for Man United is short enough, isn't it? 7-1 Bristol City, the draw 4-1. Strikes me as one of those games where maybe you can't go full force and back Bristol City, but you could probably look at a bet that sees them making it hard for United.
Yeah, definitely so. I actually give Bristol City more of a chance in this one than I do Premier League Bournemouth against Chelsea, just because the makeup of the two matches. Bristol City at home this season, that's very much the foundation for their promotion push. They've been good at Ashton Gate this year, and they've been scoring plenty of goals as well, so the strikers will be full of confidence. Only Wolves have scored more than them in the league this term. However, they don't really do clean sheets. No clean sheets in the last six at home, despite the fact they've been winning most of them. So them conceding looks almost a given here against the Manchester United side, who have started good attacking players in this competition. Rashford, Martial and Lingard have started both League Cup games so far this season. By the way, Lingard is 13-8 to score any time. He scored in both rounds so far, including a brace against Swansea, scored at the weekend and got two against Arsenal the other week. 13-8 looks surprisingly big on Lingard. That'd probably be bet number one for me, which I actually arrived at after I'd made up my mind on this game. I had a quick glance at the goal scorer markets, but having been demoralised by how short Batsu Ayew was, I didn't know we'd be getting such a price on cup regulars for Manchester United. And I've been a bit critical of Jesse Lingard, as many people have over the years, but I couldn't believe he was 13-8 to score in this one, given that he's already got a good record in the cup. So Lingard interests me at 13-8. I think he probably will start. The interesting thing for me, though, is Manchester United weaken themselves at the back in this competition, starting Rashford, Martial and Lingard up top against the championship side that have been conceding. Even when winning games is fine, you're not going to get rich backing Manchester United to score. The key for me is you look at their back line in these two games they've played in the competition so far. Lindelof has started both League Cup games. He's highly rated, but he's been unconvincing as of yet. Damian and Blint have both played. Tuanzebe, the youngster, has had a little bit of playtime. They're definitely vulnerable at the back if they set up as they have done in previous rounds of this competition. They conceded a goal to Burton in the first round, who've managed only 14 goals in 22 matches in the Championship this season. They're the second lowest scorers in the league. Now, granted, it was a 91st minute consolation goal with United 4-0 up at the time, but they still conceded it, and it stands to reason that if the second lowest scoring side in the league can score against United when United play their cup side, then surely the second highest scoring side in the Championship would have a chance. Both teams to score is 19-20. That'd be the bet for me. I fall short of going for BTTS and United win at 21-10, just because I do give Bristol City enough of a squeak here. So I'd just play the BTTS at 19-20, given that the United cup side, their back line is very capable of conceding goals, and this will be the first time that they're meeting strikers full of confidence, given they've played Burton and Swansea so far in the competition. In contrast to those two sides, Bristol City strikers will be full of it, and if Manchester United do make changes at the back, I don't think their changes offensively will really make much of a difference, because I think they've got strength and depth there, but they've got some susceptible players in the back line. Certainly the cup team has. So I like both teams score here at 19-20, and I wouldn't rule out Bristol City potentially springing an upset.
Interesting. Yeah, I was looking at both teams to score. It does look a nice bet for all the reasons that you mentioned. One of the thing that I liked about it as well is that if you look at the you're talking about the home form of Bristol City, and they both seem to score. They score early goals as well, Bristol City at home. And Man United, in their last three away games, scored 9 goals in the last three aways, also conceded in all those, so that both teams to score comes into play again. But they score early goals as well. Every game that we've previewed so far in the enhanced odds has had both teams to score in the first half. It isn't in this one as we record this. It may be eventually. But first half, both teams to score, 15-4. If it's a buoyant atmosphere, it could be one of those. Just going back to what I was talking about there, the early goals. Goal after the 36th minute in the game against Forest. I think the game against Middlesbrough they didn't do it, but in the games against Preston and Cardiff they did. And same for Man United, some really early goals. So they fly out the blocks, Manchester United away from home. It may just leave a few gaps at the back, as Sam was just describing. Lukaku got a goal in the 27th and 35th against West Brom at the weekend. I think Valencia and Lingard both scored early against Arsenal. And Ashley Young got two against Watford, and Martial got one in the first half against Watford. So it seems to be a tactic of Man United to get after their opponents nice and early. Is there any bet there that stands out for you for the whole week, Sam, from Arsenal, West Ham, Leicester, Man City, Chelsea, Bournemouth or Bristol City versus Manchester United?
I do like the Manchester United both teams to score, but we'll just both BTTS in the match. But I think probably my favourite a lot is Chelsea to win in unders.
Yeah,
11-4. I think that's a fair price, and it just screams 1-0, 2-0 Chelsea to me.
Very good. Thank you very much, Sam.
Thank
Absolute
you, Luke.
Pleasure. Don't forget, Four Means More available on those matches. Hashtag your odds if you want to pick your own bets for any of the League Cup quarterfinals. You can hear all the in-play commentary on inplayradio.co.uk and check out the website and Twitter for all of Robbie Savage's video previews. If you're having a bet in any of the Carabao Cup matches, very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.